The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Iris Bunshaft.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Iris. How's everything?
Good, good. Glad to be here.
Terrific. Before I get to our first guest, I just want to bring everybody's attention to the importance of Project Independence in the town of North Hempstead. It is the town's initiative to help people age in place. And the best source is 311. That's the first thing I start with everybody. Because we have social work service. We have transportation for medicine, transportation for shopping, home repairs, exercise classes, medical questions answered. I mean, the number of calls that come into 311, 50% approximately of every call that comes into 311 during the course of the year is for Project Independence from a senior. And there's over 11,000 seniors currently enrolled in Project Independence.
Each week I meet new people.
Terrific. It's a truth.
The program. You know. I'm very pleased.
Yeah, and you come to an advisory group, you come to one or two programs, and you basically get hooked because you're getting all this information that's helping you stay at home.
And good people to be around, too.
100%. And one of those good people, in fact, one of the best people we have involved with Project Independence, is Ann Margaret Carosa. And Ann is an elder law attorney who has been on the show before, does seminars and programs throughout the town. I've personally referred people to Ann Margaret. I mean, it's just, you have to have a vote of confidence if you're dealing with somebody. And you have to know that their knowledge is superior, but at the same time, they're a person you can trust to do the right thing for people. And that's Ann Margaret. So good morning, Ann.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Iris. Thank you so much for your kind words and for having me back here again.
It's always a pleasure because things are always changing. And I didn't even know it. The first thing I'm going to bring up is the New York State credit.
Yeah. So traditionally, the New York State estate tax threshold had been $1 million. And when you add up real estate, death benefits on life insurance, retirement accounts, a lot of folks were getting tripped up with New York State estate tax. It is now up to $4,187,500, still a little bit lower than the federal threshold.
Okay.
But it enables
much improved.
Much improved, absolutely.
Did it jump there, or did it go up incrementally?
It did go up incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and forth, Iris, with questions because I know you had some. But one that has come to my attention recently, talking to clients, etc., is people make a mistake. They've set up a trust. They have everybody in it, or whatever they've done, to realize 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, one of the people in there shouldn't be there anymore. Is there anything for a person planning today?
Well, you know, life changes, right? Mm-hmm. So I view estate planning as sort of like a work in progress. We shouldn't simply do documents, a will, a power of attorney, a trust, a healthcare proxy, a living will, and then expect them to be the same forever. Life changes. I may do a will or a trust with my husband as the sole beneficiary, but what happens if he develops a dementia-related illness or for whatever reason he shouldn't be inheriting a lump sum from me? So we want to, I tell my clients, retain a set of handcuff keys when we do any of this planning. So with respect to trusts, everyone knows the two basic types of trust. We have revocable and we have irrevocable. But even within the irrevocable trust, people should retain the ability to A, change the beneficiaries, and B, change the trustee. No reason in the world not to retain those powers, provided that the estate is below the estate tax threshold. You know, often the goal with a trust is to, quote unquote, get that 5-year clock going for Medicaid
right.
purposes. If that's our goal, we can build the trust so that a lot of powers are retained. And that makes it a much more comfortable and less frightening proposition for someone doing it. But if you've done a trust and you didn't retain those magic powers to customize it going forward, there are still three ways under New York state law to break into an irrevocable trust.
Really?
Yes.
Without negating the 5 year, if it's 4.5 years, say.
Well, if
you have to go back in time and start again.
It depends on how you do it. So if you want to completely revoke the trust because you got mad at everyone that you had in it and you want to just be done with it, then you would lose the benefit of whatever time.
Okay.
Under what circumstances can you break into an irrevocable trust? Because otherwise it would be no meaning.
Well, there are three ways. One, we can have court-ordered reformation. So that's obviously the a big deal. You have to retain an attorney and go to court. It's a big deal. New York State also allows reformation with the written consent of the grantor, that's the person who set it up, and all people beneficially interested. That can be a sticky wicket if the reason I want to change it is to take a daughter out, and if she's a named beneficiary, chances are she's not going to cooperate with that move. The third way out is called decanting. And New York State, a couple of years back, was the last state to enact decanting, which allows the trustee to basically remove the assets and decant them as we would decant wine, move the trust assets into a different trust. So we're not revoking trust number one, but we're simply emptying it out.
Wow. Great word. Decanting. Just before we go on, and this is wonderful, Ann Margaret's direct line is 516-741-7870. That's 516-741-7870. If you're driving, if you don't have a pen, you call 311, and we'll definitely forward you on to Ann Margaret.
Let's go now to the healthcare proxy, the difference between the healthcare proxy and the living trust.
The living will, I think you mean.
Living will, yes, that's exactly.
The terms are often used interchangeably, and they're actually very different. So the healthcare proxy, and we should all have one. You don't need an attorney to do a healthcare proxy. I have them on my website, which is www.myelderlawattorney.com. You can print the healthcare proxy, name one person. You can't name two people at the same time. That's the only room for error with the healthcare proxy. One person at a time, it's witnessed by two people. The healthcare proxy should not have a lot of specifics in it. We want to stifle the control freak or micromanager in us. The healthcare proxy is a clean, simple delegation of authority. I appoint John Ryan to be my agent, period. He has authority to make all decisions, including whether or not to withhold life-sustaining treatment. So within the healthcare proxy, we're not making that big-ticket decision ahead of time. We're simply empowering the agent to do so in the future. The living will on the...
Can we stop for one moment?
Yes.
Okay, now suppose that person that you've designated is not willing, unable, whatever, at the time when it's necessary. Is there something within the healthcare proxy that... It allows for a second person to come in.
That's a good question, Iris. Yes, we should always name a backup agent. Mm-hmm. And for those folks who already have a healthcare proxy, look it over and make sure that you write in the cell phone numbers of those people, because my agent may not be with me at 2 a.m. when the ambulance takes me to St. Francis, but if the cell phone number is there, it's a very helpful thing.
Point.
Yeah. So I just want to go back to the living will.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of states have a living will law. New York State is not one of them. Now, you may remember back in 2005, the case with the woman in Florida,
yes.
Terry Schiavo,
yep.
And the estranged husband and the parents were locked in a battle. At that time, I was a member of the New York State legislature. We thought about doing a living will law, but it was actually the Medical Society of the state of New York that didn't want it. Now, the living will is sort of like a subjective manifesto. I list what I want and what I don't want. And because it's so subjective, The medical society didn't want its members having to kind of decipher my five pages of rambling in the event of an emergency. I may think I know what I'm saying by I don't want any tubes, but medically speaking, that could refer to six different things. So for those people who have a living will, put a post-it note on it that says for family use. My son or my daughter might understand what the heck I was talking about, but you don't provide the living will to the healthcare provider. Now, that being said, the living will is your own creation. Again, on my website, I have a sample. You're welcome to download it and call it your own, or you can change it up a little bit. I put my favorite foods in my living will. I may develop dementia and forget the word for pizza, but I think I'll still like the way it tastes. So I put that in there. I put in my intention to remain at home, which is very important, I think, for the Project Independence community, whose mission it is to keep us in the community longer. If you wish for any long-term care that may be needed, because we're all living longer, chances are fair that we're going to develop some cranky issues in years to come that require help with activities of daily living, feeding, bathing, dressing, toileting. These are not medically complex functions that would necessarily require us to be in a nursing home. So if your wish is to remain in your own home and have care brought into the home as needed, please put that intention within your living will.
So this is a really wish list, and it's more personal than the healthcare proxy.
Absolutely, okay. Yes.
Actually, going along with that same concept, long-term care insurance, if you touch on that, because
yes.
You're almost going there with activities
yes.
of daily living.
Long-term care insurance is essential. Now, a lot of times I hear elder law attorneys out there saying you don't need long-term care insurance. You can simply create a trust, throw everything in the trust, wait 5 years, and you're good to go. A lot of folks will remember that so-called look-back period used to be 3 years. Now it's 5 years. There's a bill in Congress that would make it 7 years. So the writing is on the wall. For any baby boomers who are out there listening to this program, we cannot rely on the Medicaid program. It's going away yearly. We see it harder and harder to achieve eligibility. So we need to educate ourselves about long-term care insurance. Traditionally, the turnoff with it was people viewed it as very expensive, and if you walked away from the policy, you lost all of the premiums that you had paid. There are many, many new products that are out there. There are so-called hybrid products where you don't lose a dollar. So I will buy a whole life insurance model, that's how I think of it, with a rider for long-term care features, which is very attractive because if I don't need the long-term care and I die suddenly in my sleep one day, which I hope will be the case, then my beneficiaries get the full death benefit. But I can also, if I needed the money back, I can get 100% of my premium returned to me. The only catch is that the company gets to keep any earnings that my premium has generated.
Is there a time limit on this?
There is no time limit. If I pay $50,000, then I get the $50,000 back. And I have referred a number of people to John Ryan, who coincidentally can help people with these products. But at the very least, I think we should all educate ourselves about the new products out there.
And where to start from, how to begin this education.
Absolutely. I would definitely call John Ryan at 516-719-6397.
okay,
or as an
there's seminars
yes, yes.
in the
what
town, etc.
Are you running any kinds of seminars pertaining to this issue? Is that a little bit outside of what you actually do?
Well, I do. Every time I do a seminar, I talk about the importance of long-term care insurance.
In generalities, but I'm meaning more specific. In other words, other people who want to begin this process of looking, how do you suggest they start from A to go on to B and so on and so forth?
Well, I don't sell long-term right, care insurance, right. So I hope I'm a very objective source of this information, and I do have a section on my website, myelderlawattorney.com, to hopefully point people in the right direction.
Thank you.
It really is. It's a very important issue, but right now we're going to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're with Ann Margaret Carroza, and we'll be right back.